Good enough.
All right.
I'm looking for that.
Let's rise for the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good evening. This is the July 18th, 2022 public meeting of the Planning Board of the Township of Clinton, County of Hunterdon, State of New Jersey. Adequate notice of this meeting has been given in accordance with the Open Public Meetings Act, in that an annual notice was published in the Hunterdon County Democrat, and a notice of an agenda for this meeting was posted on the township website, the bulletin boards at the front of the municipal building, the front door of the public safety building, and faxed to the Hunterdon County Democrat, the Express Times, the Courier News, the Hunterdon Review, and the Star Ledger no later than the Friday prior to the meeting. Madam Secretary, would you call the roll, please?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Johnson is absent.
There's no more, let's say.
I thought in person we're back on. I need to use that gavel.
Yeah.
On a certain
attorney.
Mr. Butcher?
Yes.
Mr. Glazer?
Here.
Mr. Higgins?
Yes.
Just from the record, Mr. Johnson?
Yeah, good.
I'll give you that, Captain. Okay.
Absent.
Mr. Lyons? Here. Mr. Lazarus?
Here.
Mr. Malay?
Here.
And Mr. Simon?
Here. Thank you. We have no meeting minutes tonight. They'll probably be coming next meeting. We do have a resolution. Gray Rock Road area in need of redevelopment study. And it's the resolution PB 2022 OA, recommendation that the property designated on the township tax map as block 74, lots 16, 1701, and 19, and block 7701, lots 2, 3, and 4, be designated as a non-condemnation area in need of redevelopment.
I just want to make sure we received the right resolution. It was very brief.
It was very brief. It was in the package.
And, you see what he's saying? Yeah. He's saying there was only two pages, so it couldn't have been drafted by me.
We should have received it.
So that was previously distributed. Does anybody have any questions or concerns on that resolution?
Again, this is memorializing what the board did on June 6th, just to refresh everyone's recollection. I believe that the township council has something.
We're going to put this on the agenda to introduce the adoption of that.
Right. And it's the expanded designation,
correct?
Which incorporated two more lots.
Right. So we put that on the agenda for the town. We needed this.
Yeah.
So. I just have one question. Is it using the same resolution
number? Well, there is no resolution number because this is. I use resolution numbers on applications for development, and I don't use resolution numbers.
Yeah.
I have file names.
What is resolution?
That was the prior resolution.
Yeah.
That's a township. Those resolutions.
It's on the agenda here, too.
It's referring back to the prior resolution.
Right.
Yeah, when it's not an application, it's equal to OA, OB, OC, like that. Thank you.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So, with that cleared up, are there any other questions or comments?
Are you looking for bulk variances?
If not, is there a motion to approve that resolution?
So moved.
Thank you, Mr. Lazarus. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Mr. Yeah.
Mr.
Glazer? Yes.
Keep her right there.
Yes.
Yes.
Mr. Conyans?
Yes.
Exactly. Mr. Lazarus?
Yes.
Mr. Millet?
Yes.
And Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Now we have a public hearing, 1233 Route 31 LLC, Block 88, Lots 10 and 11. The applicant is seeking preliminary and final major site plan approval and C variance relief. to demolish the existing improvements on Lot 11 to accommodate the development of a new two-story commercial building to be occupied by Hunter & Roofing and Siding and Window Company. And this was commenced back in May, on May 2nd, and continued. I do believe there was some renotice. I will note that there is nobody from the public here.
I reviewed the form of the notice, and it was satisfactory, and Denise reviewed the certified, and?
They were satisfactory as well.
There was re-notification.
Good. With that, I will turn it over to...
Well, I'll just reintroduce myself. My name is Jeff Kersey. I represent the applicant, which is 1233 Route 31 LLC. The principal of the LLC, its managing member, is Fred Pione. He sits to my left here. I'm sorry, Jack.
I got my name, Jeff.
That's close. Not as fast as we used to be. None of us, right? It's Jeff Kersey. I represent the applicant, 1233 Route 31 LLC. This is Fred Pione. Fred Pione is a managing member of the company. He's the gentleman that owns Hunter & Roofing and Siding. That's who's going to be utilizing the building if, in fact, it's approved. We were here in May. In May, the board brought to my attention, along with professionals and, of course, with Mr. Nusser, some suggestions as to modifications on various issues. We addressed those issues. There's been resubmissions. There's been re-reviews. We think we're in a position to move forward and answer any question that the board may have. If you have questions directly of me or Mr. Pione, you can certainly address them. But our star witness is Mr. Nusser, who will advise where we are in the process of meeting your concerns and the issues that you raised. So with that, I have nothing further to say, and I'll turn it over to Mr. Nusser, who I believe remains sworn.
Right. Mr. Nusser remains sworn. Mr. Pione remains sworn. The board engineer and the board planning
engineer
remains sworn.
It's going to be one of those nights, isn't it?
Thank you.
All right. Good evening, everybody. So I'm going to start by marking an exhibit, which is A3. Do you want me to use a tag?
That's okay. Yep. Lower right-hand corner, please, and that's going to be a color rendered
version of the site plan with an aerial photograph. Below it.
You mean below it as a page?
As a page. So we refer back to A1. It's an updated version of A1.
All right.
If that makes it easier.
Yes.
So you'll notice that the plan from A1 remains generally the same. The building is in the same location. The parking, the stormwater system, the septic field, they're all in the same location. The changes are that the building is now a one-story building instead of two stories. The project is no longer proposed to be phased, where we had the first phase and then the last third of the building. The southern third of the building was a second phase to be constructed later. Now it's one phase for the entirety of the project. We've made other adjustments to the plans as a result of your professionals' comment letters. And additionally, per the board's feedback, the exit onto Red Schoolhouse has a little bit of a turn to it now, where it had been straight in before, to help dissuade tractor trailers from attempting to make a right-hand turn down Red Schoolhouse and get them going towards Route 31. We also met with the fire marshal. There was a memo that was issued that should be in the board's file. Larry had joined me on the call, and we had discussed the various options to satisfy the fire department. And what we had determined was we would provide a grass paver accessway like a fire lane that would come to the building from Red Schoolhouse that would allow them to access from the fire hydrant, which again is just to the west of the site, and bring that line onto the property in the event that they had a fire to fight. That was acceptable to the fire marshal. There were some recommendations in his letter as well regarding basically they're going to bring a truck out once it's built and run over it, make sure it works, make sure there's no issues with it.
Is it just a quickie? The exhibit, do your plans on file now incorporate everything in the fire marshal's memo, or does the exhibit show that and it's got to be a condition?
No, the plans show that.
Okay. And there's no date on the fire marshal's memo, but I guess it doesn't matter because your plans incorporate what's in there, you're saying, right?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, we met with him like the week after the last hearing.
Okay, so can you just, for the record, your memo dated May 20th, 2022. The plans on file incorporate all that, so none of that has to be a condition either, correct?
Well, the only comment I had in my report, too, was a detail of the grass paper.
Right, which will provide.
They had the signage for the fire lanes. They show the limits and location of the fire access grass paver area. And I believe you relocated the dumpster to clear that out of the way for the building.
Correct. Right.
Yes. Yeah.
Right. The dumpster had been located in the corner of the building, that southwest corner, and it's now located over to the west of the building, kind of off the northwest corner.
And so really, if they comply with the report, we'll pick up anything missing that was in the memo, not in the plan. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you're suggesting that if the board... Mr. Poole, I say that, see, I normally like to list what the changes have to be, if there's any changes.
Well, if you reference my review report, I issued a review report number two, and in that report.
That's going to be on June 15th?
Correct.
Okay, now in there I see there are not a lot of conditions, but I see conditions. So if those conditions are referenced, again, do we have to address the 520-2022 memo? If
no, the 522 memo is captured in the report.
Wonderful.
Yes, so I would agree. Yeah.
Okay.
The only other comment, just for the record, the only other thing that the fire marshal was requesting was an as-built field test, the drive on the grass pavers, and that's also a condition in my report.
And Mr.
Nusser
knows that earlier.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So that was the plan until 4 o'clock today when the water company decided, though I believe Larry had conversations earlier in the day with them, that they had concerns with the access.
The water supply.
Water supply authority. Yes, thank you. So they currently share the access to get into their facility here to the west, and we're proposing to maintain that. They are coming in the wrong way on the one-way driveway for a very short piece. In our estimation, it was not really problematic because it's a very infrequently used driveway. They have a concern. The applicant and I went over to the site before this meeting, and I had a conversation with Larry about this as well, and we believe we can relocate their driveway and give them a new entrance about 20 feet up the hill, separate them, get it apart. And I believe the water supply authority, that would be acceptable to them based on your conversation.
I'm asking Larry to write me a condition right now that he believes will satisfy the water authority email. Water supply authority email with today's date, and then I'll read what Larry writes into the record. And I'll run it by you guys. Give me a moment.
Chris, not to complicate things, but that would be permissible through the easement that you guys already have?
Yes, access is always permissible in the easement.
I mean, the relocation, that's not specific.
Yeah, there's nothing, the easement's not specific about the size, type, width, or anything of access. It's very generic in that. it was access and agricultural were permitted in there.
There's not described by meets and bounds.
The easement is, but
not
the driveway
is the driveway
correct.
Has to be.
Correct. Yeah.
Anywhere over that described the area.
Anything over that easement area is fine. And my understanding is that they otherwise reviewed the plan. This was their one concern that we're willing to address.
For the record, this is the July 18th email from Alexander Michalchuk, the senior project engineer for the Water Authority, to Larry, and then Larry sent it to Denise, and I asked Denise, and a copy to you, and I asked Denise to send it out to the board with their little sketch they had and the photo. And now I've killed enough time that Larry's finished the condition. The proposed condition is the applicant shall relocate the existing stone access driveway for the New Jersey Water Supply Authority to avoid a conflict with the proposed one-way driveway alignment within the existing access easement with a new curb cut along Red Schoolhouse Road. How does that sound to you?
Sounds correct to me.
How does it sound to the board?
So it's a second curb cut on the same lot 11.
I'm a little confused. This is the conflict. Read the part about the, so as not to cause a conflict?
To avoid a conflict.
To avoid a conflict.
Currently you have opposing traffic. You have traffic being directed south out of your driveway in a one-way alignment, and your
water supply authority
has to enter the other direction.
Gotcha.
So it'll be head-on traffic, and they have some concerns on that.
That's the conflict.
Yeah. I believe there's a do not enter sign proposed for that.
There is. It was initially placed beyond north of the driveway.
Right.
To kind of give the, and the Water Supply Authority didn't note that. They recognized that, but they were still hesitant to direct their staff to go against traffic in the driveway.
And there's room to do that.
So
will the driveway then still be on lot 11, or is it be pushed out to lot 12?
No, it's still be on the subject parcel.
Yeah, it is on the subject parcel. So it's in the back of the subject parcel.
And it's still within, there are easements 100 foot wide in the complete southern.
Yeah. So it just moves it a little bit west.
And they were okay.
Yeah. So just.
That's nobody on the board has any concerns?
Curb cut. No, not much traffic. Pickup trucks. Construction.
They did indicate in the email from the Water Supply Authority that if there was a larger project involving the surge tank, that they would create like a temporary construction access off the school. Something else would be done, but normally it's just going to be a pickup truck over there.
Yeah,
for
maintenance.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that would be the changes to the plan.
I just have one question on that. We're going to move on.
Can you talk louder or into the microphone?
Okay. The between the fire lane and the truck lane, the truck exit lane, is there something separating those two lanes?
So the fire lane, it's a grass paver,
mm-hmm.
So it will look like lawn
mm-hmm.
just about every day or every day of the week. And the truck access is going to be paved. It'll be asphalt. So the delineation is from the asphalt down to the grass.
So if there is a truck leaving the site that wants to make a right-hand turn onto Schoolhouse Road, is there something preventing him from going down the fire lane to make the right-hand turn?
Isn't there a sign that says no right-hand turn?
Yeah.
Trying to make a left-hand turn.
And can you describe?
Yeah. So I think the concern is that would a truck come onto the fire lane and then make that right? But because it's lawn, they're not. It's not. It's not obvious that it's a driving surface, so that they wouldn't use that. They would stick to the pavement.
This was part of our conversation with the fire marshal. I mean, obviously, they'd rather have a hard permit surface, but the concern was stormwater management, people using that for loading, unloading, storage, everyday particle waste, which was never designed for, and the turning movement. So the consideration was a stable surface that's been used before. That's basically, it's got grass and topsoil over a hard surface. So the fire department will know it's there. There'll be signs there about a fire lane, and they're going to field test it. So that was kind of a compromise to satisfy the requirements for the fire marshal, address stormwater management, not adding additional impervious, and try to eliminate some of the turning movements. I mean, the New Jersey Water Supply Authority actually asked us to widen the road at the drive at the current access point to get them better access, but I know there was concerns about the right turning movements. That's why it was the other thought was just provide a separate driveway and leave that skewed driveway where it's turning east back toward 31.
And now that the access lane has been moved up, it could be curved a little bit more, even more encouraged going to the turning to the left?
I defer to Chris. Maybe.
I mean, it is possible. The more we do that, the more it starts impacting grading in this area. And we keep pushing and pushing further down. We're really trying to keep the tractor trailers from making that movement, right. And it is not comfortable movement for them to make.
Pushing it further down would impact additional vegetation, would it not?
Yes. And so I think one of the things that we have right now is that's helped by moving the Water Supply Authority's driveway up a little bit is we were avoiding any signage right at the very base here because their driveway was there. We're moving their driveway. We can put signs there now, and now the tractor trailer would really have to clip across a sign. So it's even more of a
deterrent.
There will be signs as part of the plan, right? That
yes, there are signs. It's just we're going to relocate them further forwards.
I mean, unfortunately, it may turn into a township enforcement issue on that road.
Well, I'm not going to mention that there's, stabilized base under the grass and the resolution. Hopefully no one's going to find out about it.
I've seen some of these. You can't even tell. When the grass goes in, it just looks like...
Yeah. It's not like the old style with the concrete paver bricks that had grass in between them, and it was pretty, like, you drive by and you're like, yeah, you could totally drive on that. It just looks like a lawn.
Okay.
So everything that Larry was talking about that supports it is below the surface, and then there's topsoil media with the grass on top of it. So it's not, it doesn't present as anything other than a lawn space.
Honestly, that schoolhouse road kind of goes nowhere. And it's not like there's a thriving metropolis at the end of it.
You just don't want them going down there and thinking they have a shortcut to...
Allergan.
Right.
Right.
Payne is just about a half a mile down the road, so...
So we're signing it. We adjusted the geometry. I think we're comfortable. I mean, can you stop anybody from doing something if they're really intent on it? No. But I think we've made a very good effort here to make sure that it doesn't happen. Okay. I'm going to go into the professionals' letters first, and then we'll talk relief. I'm going to start with the letter from Jason Harkins, dated June 15th, mostly because it says we're good. And that's a good place to start. I'm going to move then to Larry's letter of 6/10/22. Six ten is my plan date. Yeah, sorry. A lot of boxes. So moving to page 3. There are a couple of comments in here.
Start on page 1. He says, first paragraph, the last two sentences. The applicant's engineer, you guys have indicated in the comment response letter dated 6/10/22 that the existing improvements located on adjoining lot 3.01 will be removed, demolished, and restored under a separate agreement. Separate application. Thank you. And I have something to be made a condition, but I don't understand what that means. why does there have to be a separate application to remove the knowledge from the store?
So I think the...
In other words, why can't it just be a condition of disapproval?
Yeah, that's why I left those comments in my report about showing that and showing the restoration, because I was unsure about that either. Like, when is the encroachment issue going to be addressed?
So, and I don't want to complicate anything, but I'm going to. About 10 years ago, the applicant was under contract to buy that property. Understood at the time that the township had the first opportunity to purchase it and that it was going to stop him from buying that property.
The
Bunt piece, yes. Knowing that the township didn't exercise that right, he would, and is, I think, attempting, last we talked, to contact the owner of that property to re-engage with them and purchase it.
Who owns the property?
The Bunts. The Bunts still do.
The farm.
The Bunts family. B-U-N-D-T.
It's
yes.
L.T. Bunt?
L.C.
E-L-S-I-E.
Cal.
LCM Bunt, 21 Red Schoolhouse Road in Lebanon.
So
how about a condition that says you either purchase that property by X date and come in with site plan for it, or you got to take that, remove all that stuff off that property?
I mean, isn't most of it accessory use? So if you can't have accessory use on a lot unless you consolidate it with the other lot,
yeah. There's
no principal use.
Actually, that's a good point. Unless the lot was merged, right, that would be a principal use of that lot. It would need a D variance from the BOA.
Yeah.
Understood all of that. I think a date to put in there to come in with an application or to have it removed, I think the applicant wants to keep his option open to be able to.
Okay, so can you explain what exactly, according to the report, there's a stone driveway and a shed.
There's a lot of, so there's stone that's back there.
What is on that lot 3.01 and what's it being used for?
Parking and storage of, there's
the outdoor storage?
Dump trailers are back to 3 dump trailers.
Listen, if it's outdoor storage, it's that's not allowed either. That would have to be the BOA.
It's in a container. So it is.
So you have a container out there. You keep everything.
I'm not helping myself. But
You're not. It's going like downhill.
My perspective on this is, and I'm just one person, but I think before you get a final on this, before you would get a C of O, that has to be remediated.
Mm-hmm.
So whether you can fix it by then, buy it by then, but you can't let this go. I don't think this board can let this go halfway.
If you impose a condition, this is just my advice done to you, but if you impose a condition that's not tied somehow to them getting a CO,
it's tied to approving this project. And I think that's reasonable because we're aware of it. And I don't understand, I don't know the history. I was around 10 years ago. I don't know why the town's seemingly...
Do we have an obligation to the current property owner to have them remove the encroachment unless something's formal? I mean, it's...
Between property owners,
I don't
want to
get
business.
Okay.
That's between them. We have no in my opinion, the board has no obligation to take sides between two property owners. But what the board...
I don't think the board can look past that there's an encroachment that's part of this project, part of this application business, and say we're just going to look past it. So I would suggest a condition that says before the CO, before it's done, that's either removed or it's been brought forward and resolved.
So I guess the condition would be that prior to CO, one of two things has to happen. Either everything has to be removed from lot 301, or lot 301 has to be merged with, which lot would it be merged with, Chris?
Lot 35.
It would be merged with 10, Lot 10.
Would they get a variance?
I think we'd end up merging with Lot 10.
Yeah. But you should leave that opportunity.
You can just find Zombie BOA.
Right. Right. It would just say put Zombie approach, but
it's not going to happen. Keep that open, an opportunity, either or, right? If he wants to make an application to the Board of Adjustment for a variance, he should be able to do that.
Okay, if he wants the right to do that, be my guest.
Well, I understand that, but that should be an opportunity as a condition, right? It's either merge it.
Okay, so hold on. Prior to issuance of CO, one of three.
I mean, so you need to overcomplicate and things, point out the different avenues.
I think so.
I'll just say resolve the encroachment.
One of three things shall occur.
Okay.
Either the easiest one is remove all structures from lot 3.01 and restore the area. Number two is lot 301 to be merged with lot 10 and obtain site plan approval from the planning board. And number three is obtain D variance paren S from BOA to allow structures to remain. And just to tell Mr. Kersey, there's a pending application in front of the Board of Adjustment. It's in a residential zone, it's not a commercial zone, but you have this very situation. One neighbor put a bunch of his stuff on the other neighbor's property with permission.
Understood it's a greatest line of resistance, but the opportunity to do that, if that's what he wants to do in the future, should be in the resolution as a condition. If we can't merge, if we can't get things off, give us the opportunity to do what needs to be done, maybe an uphill battle.
All of it's prior to the issuance of the CO.
I understand.
Okay.
And I have one thing.
I don't think we're going that way, Jonathan, but we should have the opportunity to go that way.
Yeah.
All opportunities.
Yeah. Agree.
I mean, otherwise I'm not doing my job.
Before I forget, though, I thought that there was a pre-existing non-conformance coverage issue, and by removing the back, it compensated for the new driveway. So now you have another variance.
It would be, we'd be coming in for an application, and we'd have a lease that we'd have.
This application before, the driveway that's on the lot to the
back
north,
here.
It was already pre-existing non-conformance. So I put in whatever little bit more of the driveway for the easement, put it into now an expansion of pre-existing non-conformance. But they were removing the stone in the rear, the driveway, to offset the new, right?
Yeah, there was a short section in the back that we were taking.
Is that still coming out? Because now you're deferring that whole encroachment, all the removal, to another point in time.
But if we're leaving everything in the back, if we're leaving this in the back, then we need to come back for site plan approval. And if there's relief associated with it at that time, we would have to deal with it. And if we're here and we're for that, we're in for a merged lot, and that's a very large parcel with very little coverage on it, and it probably resolves the coverage issue.
If you merge some of that land to the other lot, if you merge it all to the one lot, it's not going to take care of your previous number four.
If we merge all of lot 10 into lot
3.01,
it's a 2-acre parcel in the back there, it would resolve the issue.
Okay. I just want to note that, because they were taking care of the pre-existing non-conforming expansion by doing that.
Yeah. Can I go to page 3 now?
Okay. Yeah.
So, top of page 3, item A, we just addressed. Item B, we just addressed. Item C, we will address that. Item D.
When you say you will address, in other words, you're saying the board should make these all conditions. Correct?
Well, A, B, and D all relate to lot 3.01 and what we just discussed.
Yeah, I have condition, but it says C drills notes for that condition. Is that correct, Larry?
Correct.
for A, B, and D. And then C should just be a condition, correct?
C should just be a condition.
And then what about H?
And H should just be a condition. There are three detailed comments to address.
And number two.
And number two would be a condition, just the normal outside agencies.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to the Rosenberg letter of June 16.
I just noticed something before you move forward to that. What kind of engineering issue? If we relocate the driveway for the water supply authority, the only thing I would suggest is I would, whatever detail you provide for that driveway, I'm going to give the opportunity for the water supply authority to review it as far as, whatever it might be, 8-inch thick, DGA, or whatever, just so that they know what the thickness would be.
That's fine. Right now they're driving on nothing but dirt and shale. So,
just follow up.
But yes, I would expect nothing less.
Okay.
So we are on.
This is the June 16th, 2022 Rosenberg memo?
That is correct. So I'm only going to talk things that aren't noted as being addressed. So item two is relief that is requested for the buffer areas, and we did discuss that last time, and we'll talk about that a little bit more in a moment. Item three is related to the removal of trees. Again, we had conservatively kept all of the trees. A number of them were dead or dying, as I'm sure everyone is very aware, that they were removed.
There's just a bit of a conflict with the comment.
The way the note was written conservatively to what it was to just say that they were all, we were counting all of them. We can update to what's there and remove the dead and dying from the plans.
Chris, just back on that issue, appears to be a discrepancy. I took the number of trees to be removed, I think, from the plans, which suggest that 43 trees will be removed. Is that accurate?
In other words, Tom's referring to his memo.
And I think I took it from...
dated July 15th.
Yes.
And he says on page 2 at the bottom, landscaping, the plans have been revised to indicate two trees will be removed in addition to the previously proposed 43 trees. So he's saying he thinks there's 45 trees that are being removed. I don't know if it matters or not. I don't know if it triggers some kind of replanting thing. I have no idea. I just want to get the facts straight.
Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm looking at note one on sheet 6 of the site plans, which indicates the 43.
Right.
And then there was a note somewhere, I don't know if it was in your memo or on the plans, that indicated that another two were going to be removed. Just a point of clarification. I mean,
if you look at the itemized chart, there's 45.
Right.
It is. The answer is it is 45. There were two additional trees located here to help make space for the fire lane coming in. So you're correct. The 43 that are listed in note one is not correct. If you look to the tree removal breakdown immediately adjacent to that on the plan, it does list out 45.
So for my purposes, Jim, your memo now, dated June 16, item 3, says the plans propose the removal of 43 trees, requiring the addition of 1,160 caliper inches and replacement trees. So the 43 now should be 45.
Do you have my June 16th letter?
Yes.
So the top of page 2.
I'm looking at the bottom of page 1.
Yeah, that was the previous comment from the previous page. So if you go to the top of page 2, it'll be updated comment.
Okay, I get it.
Sorry.
My bad. Sorry.
Okay. The number of tree rolls is revised to 48. The total of 602 caliper inches.
I was wrong.
Okay. The remaining items on page 2 are addressed. We're moving to page 3, comment number 15. And it relates to shrubs being planted within the basin. The ordinance requires plantings in the bottom of the basin, but the basin is a sand bottom infiltration basin, so we can't put any plantings in the basin, which is why there are none proposed. So if that is...
So that's an exception.
If that's an exception that's required, that's an exception we seek.
To your testimony. It's going to be, in practicality, it's actually, right, it's impossible, so it's a hardship, right?
It's, yes. We are meeting...
You don't reject it when you do your relief.
Okay. So far, relief comes at the end.
For relief, right, it's coming at the end.
Yeah.
So item 2 is relief. Item 3, you're seeking relief. And item 15, you're seeking relief. Okay. And then item 18, you're seeking relief, right?
Yeah, 18 is relief. Item 20... A and B, we will address.
Yeah, that would, you fixed it according to my comments, but then
the plans change.
Chris, I just looked at the ordinance. So I think number 17 also requires some level of relief where a masonry trash enclosure is required.
Right.
You're proposing a board on board fence.
Okay, so even though they adjust his comment, they still need relief, you're saying?
Technically. I'm not suggesting one.
Again. Scott and the eyes crossing the teeth.
That was a good one.
Moving to page 4. The only item on here is B2 lighting, the finish of the light poles. We didn't provide a specific color. I don't know that we had a specific color in mind. I mean, black's usually pretty standard, and black usually blends in nice. And
yeah,
it's also
aesthetically, matching the building aesthetics, which is kind of vague. So we didn't.
So what do you want put in there?
Black.
Black. Anyone have a problem with that?
Yeah.
There you go.
We will note it as such.
Could I ask the question? Does the change of the fire lane change the landscape at all? I'm thinking not, but I can't testify.
No, I mean, it was a little bit of grading changes. That's where the two extra trees came out.
Right.
Because of that. That was about it.
I'm sorry, I misspoke. Moving the access line for the water authority, pushing that gravel driveway back, does that?
No, it's pretty open now, I think.
That area was encumbered by the easement, which did not allow for plantings.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So it wasn't part of the plan.
Yeah, so it's just scrub anyways.
And I think if there is a relocation to the west, it shouldn't require approval.
No, like I said, we were out there just before the meeting, and it's just lawn that we would be coming through.
Thanks.
So. And then, last but not least, the Burgess memo of July 15. Somebody stop me if I
didn't have much. Maybe I'll just stop on 2 points. We can just move this along. So one, just as technical matters, accessory structures are prohibited in required yard area. So I guess I have a question as to whether or not additional relief may be required pertaining to accessory structures.
Where are you in your memo?
It's in a couple areas. So item 6 on page 4, kind of, it's just a general reference. I think Don mentioned item 8 on page 3, item 6 on page 3. Anyway, it appears that the septic field and the trash enclosure may be located in the required side yard area where a 50-foot setback is required. And so I believe they're technically prohibited. Again, I don't know. They seem to be logical locations for these things, but
the septic was noted as being relief that we were seeking.
Okay, so I made this. I believe the trash enclosure.
But the trash enclosure does look like it's just tipping back into that space.
I think it's covered by the catch-all and the notice. So why don't you just add that to your testimony on the way?
Technicalities. The last one that I did not note in the memo has to do with the sign setback. I know you're relocating an existing sign.
Yes.
The ordinance says that it has to be at least 15 feet from the front.
Correct.
Property line. I don't think you're at 15 feet. This one was it. Looks like 35 feet.
I thought we had the mention here. The only relief we were seeking on the sign... Yes. The front, we were seeking front and side yard setback relief for the sign.
You have that already, okay.
Yes.
Sorry,
no, it's fine. The front's at 4.96, so good eyes. And the side's at 3.22.
Forgive me then, and other than that, I didn't have many comments. Thanks.
Yeah, I think it was outlining the relief in here. I don't think there's anything that would cross into Mr. Drill's list of conditions.
The only thing I had a question on was paragraph number 2 on page 2, the second sentence of that first bullet. It says an easement is proposed allowing ingress. Okay, let me start. The first sentence of the first bullet under paragraph 2 on page 2 says the plans have been revised to indicate the driveway on lot 10 will allow for two-way movements where previously it was an ingress-only driveway. So here's the second sentence where my question arises. An easement is proposed allowing ingress from this driveway onto adjacent lot 11, which will have an egress driveway on Schoolhouse Road. So my question was, what type of easement is this? I assume if the lots are not going to be merged, it's going to be a perpetual
access.
Yes. In case, right now, the applicant owns both lots, but let's say he sold one.
He actually doesn't. I mean, theoretically, he doesn't own both lots. They're owned by different owners. One's the LLC and the other's individuals. But, yeah, it's going to have to be recorded and it's going to run with the properties. Okay.
And I know I asked this before and I know you answered. I just forgot because I didn't write it in my notes. What is the reason that you're not merging them?
Basically, well, you can ask him. He testified.
Yes.
I wouldn't have the opportunity if I had to sell it down the road. If it came along.
Okay, so, but you realize if you had to sell it down the road, it's now being sold with this perpetual easement.
Correct. Yeah.
And John, that should go in the write-up that it's perpetual
easement.
Because that's the...
In the body and in the condition explained.
Tom, maybe we addressed this last time, I forget. Isn't there a 75,000 square foot minimum lot requirement from the zone? Did we address that last time? I'm looking at one of the charts and I remember the first memo.
Bear with me. That is the zone standard, so it would be a pre-existing non-conforming condition. Assuming the lot was created lawfully, which I believe it was.
That's how we got through.
The fact that they're owned by separate entities has caused them not to merge.
If
they were owned by... Both owned by him, same legal name.
On Mr. Kersey's theory of giving them options, the conditions say the lot shall be merged or perpetual easement to allow blah, 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 blah. That way, the option.
That might merge all three lots, the one in the back as well, right?
Might have
one
never big
one. You never know. A lot of options are open.
Yeah.
I won't be around for the application.
Biggest lot in the township.
Okay. Mr. Drill, are you ready?
Not yet. Hold on.
Okay.
Got them all done. You need help. You got them all. I got all the numbers.
If you need to poke me, poke me.
And then somewhere he just addresses standard language, right? I'm assuming.
Okay.
The attorneys used to be able to do that. Believe it or not.
Yeah.
Ready.
All right, relief. Let's talk variances and exceptions. So, variance relief-wise, we have for the, as we just talked about, the minimum lot area, where the 75,000 is required, and lot 11 is at 64,730 square feet. We have the encroachment into the setback for the septic system, which is located on the western portion of the property.
Is that, which yard is that?
It's a side.
So it's a septic in the side yard setback,
the westerly side.
Right. As well as the parking lot in the westerly side yard setback, where 50 feet is required and 10 is proposed.
Okay, 50 feet is for the parking. What about for the septic?
They're the same. 50 is required for both, and they're both at 10 feet.
I think parking is 25.
Is there an exception down to it? I thought it was just if it's accessory and it's in the setback.
I think there is for parking. I thought it said 25. We could. I'll look there now. I think it was 25. I thought it was 25. Sorry.
No. It's less relief technically, so it's never a bad thing. Encroachment into the front yard for the detention basin, where 36.4 feet is proposed and 40 feet is required. Additionally,
just a quick question. 40 feet is the front yard setback, but 50 feet is the side yard setback?
I don't make the rules. Yes, that is correct. Yeah. Well, you're on the highway corridor, so you want to pull them forward.
Yeah, okay, got it.
We're seeking relief for the sign, as we discussed.
Yeah, discuss it again.
So the sign is being relocated where currently it's located on the north side of the existing driveway for lot 10. It's being moved to the south side of the driveway for lot 10. It is located 4.96 feet from the front yard, which is equivalent to how the current sign is situated. And 3.22 feet from the side yard, and that side yard is the side yard 2, lot 11, the remaining portion of the project.
Now, I have a question on the sign. Then, is there an easement that permits the sign to remain there for the business on lot 11?
Oh, that's a good question.
Include that in the easement. I guess my question is, in the future, if we exercise all the options available to us,
it's going
to
be a sign
for a business that is not on the premises.
Yeah, the board
Ooh,
have
we're going to pull out a billboard, and then everybody's going to get nauseous.
You know what I'm saying? He said the
B word.
He said the B word. I didn't say the B word.
I said the B word.
Who said the B word?
I said it.
He said the B word.
Well, I know what you were. I just said it before anybody else said the B word. Let's be honest.
I
just
listened to 2 hours more on a billboard.
Yeah.
It's just
put it this way, it doesn't matter if it's on an easement or not. It's still going to be a billboard if he sells that lot.
And the sign,
except the sign servicing the new lot.
So it can only pertain to the use on the lot.
That's going
to... The business is on lot 10 right now, and the sign is for the business on lot 10. If he sells it, but that's if he sells it.
He sells it, then they're going to have to...
Then he's got to deal with it at that time.
Easement's not going to get him out of that problem. Again, that easement's do we need to...
Easement's just...
Though, that the sign goes when the two properties are not...
You know what?
Are no longer...
Yeah. No, because the sign can sit there. If somebody comes in, if he sells lot 10, keeps lot 11, whoever buys lot 10 has bought themselves a sign. And then he needs to get himself an approval for a sign on lot 11.
You know what? Yeah, you make sense.
For once.
There you go.
Hopefully I stay on a roll here.
Just help me understand, what would it take to make the sign compliant?
I was going to ask.
You would need two.
No. If you move it from 5 feet to 15 feet, and the question is, if you moved it 15 feet back, what could people not see it?
Right, why couldn't, is there a possibility that, I know you're just saying it's 4.96 feet now and you're moving it for, if you could move it a couple feet back, would it still meet your needs and also limit the,
so,
the extent of the relief? Right.
The sign's located in this little space here, and we were trying to avoid these trees in this area here. So if we moved it back, we'd be in the driveway. So we'd actually have to move it over and back, and then it would end up on lot 11 to do that. And then it's, again, I'm trying to outline the relief first, but let's talk about the sign in a little more detail before we go any further, because I think it's where we're at. The issue with the location of the sign right now, other than the fact that it's a target for cars that want to drive into the ditch and then crash into it, is that between all the signage that the DOT has along the road there and the signage for the gas station, it's rather difficult to see it in that location, which is why there's always a truck parked out in front there so you can more easily find it and see the business name. So the intent here is to move it further down to a location where it's easier to see and it's not as obstructed from all the signage that's located along the highway there. Safer operation of the driveway because people know where they're going and you're not creating that issue.
Chris,
and no one's going to be going.
You did really good before, but you just said he's got a truck parked there with a sign on the side.
No. He has a commercial. He has one of his vehicles parked there. It doesn't have a sign hanging off of it. It just says the business name on it.
He's got his pickup truck.
That is.
That's where he parks.
We've been down this road before.
I know.
And it's perfectly legal.
Let me ask a different question. Is the sign lighted now?
It's internally lit.
It is, but last September, a pickup truck flipped over and took out my sign. Temporarily put up.
Is the truck in a parking, a designated parking?
Yeah. Oh, it's not like parked in the grass or anything. No, Lord, no.
Okay.
No, it's an illegal parking spot.
It's a hot dog truck.
That's
what I'm trying to get at, though. If it's lit, I don't want some uplight shining up and.
It's not uplit, it's internally lit currently.
I think it's allowed under the ordinance to be internally lit, yes?
It's on a timer from 6 to 12 at night or something.
It would have to be, regardless of what we do, it has to be ordinance compliant. So if it's lit, it has to comply with the ordinance.
That's fine.
Right? You're not seeking any relief other than the 4.96 feet and the 3.22 feet, correct?
Correct. It's going to be the same sign. It'll look the same. Same dimensions.
But that doesn't.
No, and I understand. Right. As I understand it, other than the location of the sign, it complies.
I don't have a problem with the location.
Right. I was just addressing the lighting, and I don't want us to take something that's not compliant and move it and say that's rolled into the enchilada here.
It's a new sign.
Right. The board
it's a new sign.
So
then they'll stop saying
the,
it's a
right. setback variances. But it doesn't matter what's there now. Just make sure wherever you have it,
comply with the ordinance.
Right. Yep.
Okay. Understood. Is that as a size too? The current size?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, size is compliant.
Comply.
Where were we? We have two more pieces of relief to identify.
Chris, one more question.
Yeah.
I want to swear you in as zoning officer. Just raise your right hand. You swear that what you're about to say will be the truth, the whole truth, and the truth. Have you seen where that truck is parked now?
Yes.
Is it parked in a parking spot or not?
Today it was like angled in the driveway area.
Just make sure you keep it in the parking spot.
That is a parking spot.
Yeah.
It's in front of the garage.
I don't know whether it has delineated parking at the mall.
Right. It's the parking area in front of the building. It's not delineated, but it's the parking area.
What's the current status of the parks? Is it a driveway or a parking spot?
It's a parking spot.
Not where it is. The parking spots, I believe, are on the left of the building.
There's parking in front of the building, all in front of the
paved asphalt. In front
yeah, it's just all paved asphalt in front of the building, and it's just parking there.
Right.
Can you just tell them, where was the truck parked today?
Well, today it was parked kind of kind of in front of the garages, on an angle so that the sign is facing.
As it was being loaded?
No.
Right. No.
The sign is facing the highway.
That's
what
it's here.
He's suggesting that they're doing it.
Yeah.
It's a puns and there's no delineated parking, and it's an area where people generally park.
I guess my question would be, is that going to be the case when this application is completed?
Are you going to leave that truck parked in that location in the future?
Okay. Are you aware of the conditions in the 1999 resolution regarding parking commercial vehicles? That's where the zoning officer is coming from. Because if the board grants its approval, the conditions of that, unless you ask for those conditions to be modified, the condition is going to say that those conditions still apply. According to the zoning officer, where the truck is parked violates one of those conditions. He's just trying to give you a heads up. We're not trying to bust your chops. He's trying to give you a heads up about it.
Which vehicle?
The box truck
is parked in
the driveway. Box truck in
yes. On the pavement.
Would you continue that once
yeah.
you build this?
I haven't even thought about it. Never thought about it.
Do you use it, Fred?
We use it. We load windows out of the garage into the truck every morning. Think about
why
the outside.
Why would you be able to do that?
Yeah.
Why would you be able to do that? Do you want an adjournment?
Let's take a few minutes to adjourn.
I'd like to address the board on it, Mr. Drill, if I might. I'm hearing from Mr. Drill, and I'm hearing testimony from the zoning officer, and I appreciate both. But what's the point we're trying to get to? Jonathan, please.
I like Mr. Drill. He's our attorney, and I'll tell you what I think the point is. But I want Mr. Okay. Drill go first.
The point is that if he gets the approval, we don't want him under the impression that the zoning officer is not going to look at the conditions in that 1999 resolution. So she's just pointing out that right now the location of the truck violates it. So either ask to have the conditions modified or do something. But if you don't do anything, you're going to wind up, it looks like, getting an approval. There's going to be a condition in there that's going to say the conditions from 1999 still apply, and then he may have a problem. We're just trying to give you a heads up.
That's my perspective, is a lot of this is predicated on there was already pre-approved conditions on Lot 10. You're saying that's part of the history in this, so let's make sure we're comfortable right. with them. That's where I come in.
Do you have a copy? You might want to just take a research.
I've seen the 1999. I understand what's being said. I understand the enforcement issues that may be raised. My concern is exactly what the board's trying to say. Certainly, if the truck is parked there for purposes of advocating or unlawfully advertising that business, then we have to discuss that. But what I'm concerned about is, can this gentleman, you know, who has been in business since 1999 and before, utilize one area of paved, you know, you're right, it's not lines of demarcation. That's why he's buying the lot next to him, so he has more room to open his business and make it larger, so cars aren't parking all over the place. But right now, whether it's a white pickup truck that says Hunterman Roofing and Siding, or it's his pallet truck, or whatever the case may be, it's there and being utilized. I'm sorry.
You're not getting it.
It's being utilized. So that's what I'm trying to get to. What is being prohibited?
I don't think anybody here is talking about where I'm coming from is, and this is just me, is you're testifying, you're relying on conditions for Lot 10 from 1999, and we're accepting that. So that's fine, but now we're being, so some questions that have come up that says, are you living by that? You can't come in and say, I want to preserve my rights under 1999, Lot 10, and then say, well, not now, I'm changing things or I didn't know things. I'm not saying you are.
I think what we have before us is an instance where that if you receive this approval the way it stands now, what is currently occurring will be a violation of the 1999 condition.
Right. And nothing we could do is going to modify that, is it, Mr.
Well, that's exactly what he's saying, is we can ask for that condition to be changed.
Take a look in there. You might want to ask that some of those conditions be modified. That's what I'm telling you.
All right. Give us 5 minutes.
Let's adjourn. It's 8:05, so we'll do 5 minutes.
Yeah. 165, 109.
Yeah.
I have. See.
21.
109.
C, paragraph C, paragraph 21, section C, paragraph 21.
Okay, do you have a paper copy of the item?
Well, I have a copy in the file.
Yeah.
99E.
Yeah.
That's where this is over.
I think you have to be over.
Well, that was my point.
It came across, Chris actually was just trying to be a cool guy. It came across as if he were trying to, you know, like it was a parking area to advertise on the side because no one could see the sign that's been knocked down. And then she came up and suggested, well, you know, I basically wanted to give you a citation for a zoning ordinance violation. And I didn't, I mean, do you just move them around or is it parking tension?
It's parked left there, right?
What do you
think? Window and door.
What else can you put? That's what.
Now back on the encroachment on the other property?
That's the point. And this isn't going to be built tomorrow. We don't want to be in municipal court defending them, right?
And I think that's...
This is what it is. Can't you have that truck so it's...
He uses it.
No, he does. Listen, Denise says she's being nice. Listen, Denise.
You and I say things.
I don't live in it, right? Denise does. She says that the truck's not used. It's a sausage. Can't you... It's not used. We load the windows every morning. Into windows and
you have the condition there from 99?
Or
there
actually? What's it say?
It's your zone?
99. Spelled out in the lightness. Okay.
What's it say about sign?
Two commercial vehicles were permitted to be parked on a property over
there. Guys, at Cedar Heights, if you keep it like quiet,
there is
over
adjournment. If I might. Mr. Joel, if I might ask questions of Ms. Florida, just as a follow-up to the questions you asked. Thank you very much. Ms. Florida, you're the zoning officer of Clinton Township, is that correct?
Unfortunately.
And during the course of this application, Mr. Joe asked you questions about some concerns you had as far as Hunterdon Roofing and Siding, its vehicles located on Lot 10 associated with this application, correct?
Yes.
You're reviewing a resolution that was passed sometime in 1999 mm-hmm. in relation to Lot 10. Is that accurate?
Correct.
And that?
Number 4-99.
That, what was that? I'm sorry.
Resolution number 4-99.
Thank you.
I obviously can tell from the form I drafted, but yes. I have no recollection of it whatsoever.
April 26, 1999.
Okay. And I'm sharing my copy with you, so forgive me if I'm not looking at it over your shoulder. But there are certain conditions regarding the parking of vehicles that are part of that April 1999 resolution, correct?
Yes.
And would you specify for me so that we understand and so that the applicant can, in fact, seek relief if necessary as to what your present concerns are as to the parking of commercial vehicles on Lot 10?
Okay, so it's two things. It's the parking of commercial vehicles, and I'll address that first, but then there's another item. So the applicant's personal vehicle...
What condition number are you reading?
Oh, I'm sorry. Condition number 4.
Okay.
And what would you read that into the record so that I know what it is? I'm sorry.
The applicant's personal vehicles, as well as up to two commercial business vehicles, shall be permitted to be parked on the property overnight.
Okay.
There are... Well over two.
No, there's not.
Excuse me, hold on, just a second. Okay. You're not testifying. So let's break that down first. This first of all, it's overnight we're speaking about, correct? It's not during the day, we're just speaking about that condition prohibits overnight parking, correct?
Correct.
All right. So it's two personal vehicles, as I understood it, and two commercial.
No, it says the applicant's personal vehicles. It doesn't quantify those. Okay. But then it says as well as up to two commercial business vehicles.
And is it your testimony that at least you believe that there is more than two commercial vehicles that are parked, that have been parked, that you've witnessed overnight at that location?
I have.
Okay. And how many have you seen?
Three, four.
Okay. Are they all vehicles that say 100 in roofing and siding?
Yes.
Okay. And how many times have you seen that, let's say, in 2022? And are they parked within the property lines to the best of your knowledge of lot 10?
Yes, yeah, they're not on the road or anything.
I have no further questions. And with that...
There was one other...
Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize.
So condition number three. There shall be no more than one box truck delivery to the property per week. There shall be no tractor-trailer deliveries to the property whatsoever. Now, I remember in a testimony on May 2nd, obviously the applicant is here because the business has grown, and he is now getting tractor-trailer deliveries, and I believe there's more than one box truck delivery per week. So you may want to address that as well.
Well, and I... Yes, and the testimony has been that we would have those types of deliveries. So far as that condition would need to be revised, we would seek that with the understanding that we're putting in a larger facility to accept.
That's the problem. I just think you just want to get the conditions revised. That's all.
That's exactly right. But I had a pinpoint that that's why I had her testify so that the board knows what conditions we would like revised. So if it's three or four vehicles, then I would like to revise that resolution to four commercial vehicles.
Let's ask this. Change that no more than one box truck delivery and no tractor trailer deliveries, but they're going to be going to lot 11, correct? They're going to go over 10, but they're going to be on lot 11, correct?
But when this is developed, I mean, that, we have that gap, right, Mr. Drill?
Correct.
We have that gap in time between the time the planning board...
I did not realize that.
That's what I'm
thinking.
There's nothing there. We're not going to drop things on... Mm-hmm. You know, we don't have site plan approval. We don't have anything.
Okay, now I understand. I thought it was just simply... In my mind, it was simply conforming these conditions to what was being proposed. Now I see. You're violating those two. She's saying you're violating them now. You might... You're saying... Unless the board does something for you in the interim, you have a problem. This is a bigger thing than I thought. Okay.
And that goes back to the testimony of my client and the overall concept before.
That's the problem. Those two conditions are from the BOA. There's a case that says if it's in front of you, you can have jurisdiction over it. So that's why I wasn't concerned at all about revising them for the ultimate approval.
Right. Rolling it into the whole thing makes sense. It's how do you get from here to there?
Yeah, the gap.
I have a solution, but I'm not going to say it on the record.
Listen, why don't you go to the rest of the relief first?
Yeah.
Process this. Yeah, take this back so we don't steal it from you.
Yeah, because I have copies of the office. I thought I had one more.
So we were on a sign.
Yeah. Well, we're done with the sign.
We're done with the sign.
2 minutes. Ink cartridge change.
Yep. Well, now I'll take one.
Paper change. I haven't seen an ink cartridge change.
Sure.
Are we officially off the record still?
Well, let's take another minute or two.
We moved on from the side.
That's right. Before we got sidetracked.
We have the width of the loading zone, where a portion of it is 10 feet wide, and I had 14 as required, but I believe your letter said 16, Mr. Behrens.
I thought I read that somewhere.
So I will go with...
I'm going to go with the 16.
16?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got to go with more.
Yep.
You know, we've corrected less. You've got to correct it more.
Yes. Understood.
Add some more gray hairs.
Understood. And then finally was the trash enclosure, the location of it, where it is also in the side yard, the western side yard. I don't know that I have a good...
The side yard is 50 feet, and how much does... What are we talking about, the setback for that piece of it? It's a trash enclosure. I don't think it's all in there. I think there's a part in there.
Yeah. It's at 22.
The closest point is 22?
22.
Everything, at least the variances, and then you really go to the exception. Do you think you missed any variances? I think you got everything.
Is the landscaping buffer...
Is that a variance?
Is it a variance or is it an exception?
That's what I'm asking.
Exception. Yeah, I think you have the section.
I think it's in Jim's report.
If it's in 77, it's a design exception.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's in 77. Let's come around. Jim says it's 165-77J. Now that's the shrub plantings.
It's also 65-177 at the bottom.
Yeah, so it's an exception.
Okay. So the exceptions are the landscape buffer, the tree replacement, the screening of the loading area, and the material of the trash enclosure.
Shrub planting the buffer.
What's that?
Shrub planting the buffer.
That was a possibility, right?
Shrub plantings in the basin.
Basin, sorry.
Right, basin, right.
That's what I...
Do you have anything else on your list or in your notice that he hasn't mentioned?
Well, I read off of the notice. That's where I was going from.
Ah, okay, so we get that answer. So Tom or Jim, anything else?
That's all that I
have. Got every one of these. You got the latest one we did, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which was the loading zone. That was the additional one.
It was the sign in the loading zone. Yeah.
Where's the sign?
Nina and...
Yeah, the sign.
And
yeah.
Tom never talked about the sign, but you just...
I think that's everything.
It is, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I usually like to do that first because then everybody knows what all the relief is and we can talk about it, and we've all forgotten about all of the relief, so that's good. It was maybe a helpful interlude. So let's talk through them one by one here. The first was the minimum lot area for lot 11, where it's just over 10,000 square feet deficient. It's an existing non-conforming condition. We've discussed the benefits to not merging the lots.
The only benefit is
to
it's a hardship.
Fine, we'll just stick with it's a hardship as an existing non-conforming condition. We have a number of setback relief requirements as it relates to the septic, the parking lot, the basin in the front yard, and I think those stand together. And again, it's still a hardship in this case because of the narrowness of the lot, the shape of the lot. It's wider to the highway than it is deep. The building is placed in a location where it's compliant. It results in, to be able to develop the lot reasonably, these features being located within the setbacks. I don't think they're located in any way that is detrimental. They're well screened, they're well placed, and they don't have any negative impacts, as I see it, on any adjacent property owner. We talked about the sign. I'm going to skip the sign. The loading zone. So the loading zone where the northern end of the loading zone, we're down to 10 feet, and we comply on the southern end. It's, again, a little bit a result of the shape of the lot. But I think more importantly from a practical standpoint, the loading zone where it's only 10 feet wide, despite that, you want that to be wider to be able to access around a delivery vehicle, to be able to get in there, offload material, bring it inside, and not have it in the way. We can still accomplish all of that in that 10 feet. The truck doesn't stick into any drive aisles. The aisle itself, the one-way aisle, is 16 feet wide. Where a typical highway lane is 9 or 10 feet wide. So there's more than enough room for a vehicle to be able to pass through that space, even if the truck were to stick into that space a little bit. It's a more efficient use of the land. It's less impervious coverage on the property and overall a better way of developing the site with, again, no impacts to the safety or the circulation throughout the site. The trash enclosure. I think the trash enclosure follows along with the septic system, the parking lot, and the detention basin in the front yard. So on the exceptions, when it comes to the tree planting, replanting, the tree replanting, obviously we're not making up for 600 caliper inches of trees on the property. The property is not quite large enough to support that and to be developed. We are providing a very significant landscaping element to the plan. And again, I'm going to just note once again that that's based on a very conservative estimate of the trees that are to be removed. The number have already been removed because of their condition, but instead of trying to quantify and parse over what's dead and dying and what's not, we're asking for relief on the more conservative amount.
Can I ask a question on that? Because I'm still not sure I understand what the relief is.
Right.
I'm an engineer, I'm an accountant. You know, I hear 602 is required. What's being provided, or what's the? I don't know. Does anyone, can anyone on the board explain to me what the?
Sorry. Because the ordinance basically stipulates for each caliber inch, you have to put that at least it's 2 to 1. So that would come up to 1,200.
That's 1,200.
2-inch caliber trees would be required if it's, they did 2-inch.
So what's the proposal? That's what I'm trying to understand.
Yeah, so what are they,
well, what are they offering?
Nothing really, because really you can't count the buffer towards replacement trees.
So not a single tree can go on this property, or is that what you're saying?
No, they're going to plant a buffer, but if they're planting it as a buffer, it doesn't count as a replacement tree for the tree that they removed.
Right.
What the ordinance, compliance of the ordinance, you have buffer requirement and you have tree replacement when you take them down. I think they're asking for an exception to not do any tree replacement. Is that correct or not?
If the buffer trees aren't going to count, then
they
yes.
They don't count.
Then yes, we're seeking that relief.
Okay, so there's no room on the property at all?
That's what I'm trying to understand. There's no room for not even a tree.
Well, we have a large easement to the west or to the south, so not there's the drainage easement, so we can't really find anything there. There's some minor areas maybe to the north of the parking area, but you may get one or two trees in there. That's about it, if at all.
Yeah, the main open space that we have is located in the west here, but that's where the septic system is, and we can't plant within that. We can't replant in this space. So, you know, we're filling up predominantly the rest of the site with landscaping already, which, again, is for the buffer. Again, there's a hardship in the how...
175... I'm sorry, 165-77-14.
What's the ordinance number?
The replacement trees?
Yeah. 165-77-...
I think it's D4.
Yes.
So, so where were...
It says that large trees, I'm reading from the ordinance, section 165-77, capital D4, trees with a 6-inch or greater diameter at breast height shall be saved whenever possible and shall be protected from damage to roots, trunk, and branches. The township landscape architect or other designated representative shall designate those trees which are to be saved. Soil should be added on top of the existing root zones. Tree wells should be provided where necessary, and trees to remain within the improvement project lines are to be trimmed as directed by the landscape architect or other representative. D5 says large trees greater than 6-inch DBH shall be replaced by a tree of similar caliper, or may be replaced with multiple smaller caliper trees at a 2-to-1 ratio. No tree planted as a replacement shall be less than 2 inches caliper. For example, a tree measuring 16 inches in diameter at breast height may be replaced with 16 2-inch caliper trees, period. So unlike in Raritan Township, they have an ordinance that says if you can't plant them here, you can plant them somewhere else. This ordinance says you do it here. What they're saying is they got no room.
Right. I'm just trying to understand the ask. That's all I'm trying to understand.
So it's clear we're removing 45 trees, and the proposal for the buffer plantings, we're putting back 79.
I understand, but that...
No, I know it doesn't count. But I'm just trying to give an understanding of the number of trees that we're placing back here and how it's constraining our ability to add additional.
Those buffer plantings, are you complying with how many trees have to be planted in the buffer? Or do you need relief from that also? Because
I believe
it's number two in the landscape report says the plans indicate a request for relief from the landscape buffer requirements due to existing site constraints. So it looks like you also don't have enough room even to do the buffer plantings. You need relief from that also.
Right, which we discussed last time, and it was placing trees in front of the building and blocking the building, which we talked about, and the area that we can't plant in because it's...
All I'm saying is when you say we'll plant the 79 trees, the 79 is not near what the buffer requirement would be. But the fact is, they got no room on the property.
Mm-hmm. So we're seeking those exceptions.
We are seeking those exceptions.
As outlined by Mr. Joe.
If we were to attempt to put those in, my own personal opinion, Jim can certainly weigh in on it, is, you know, we're going to start trying to jam trees in, and I think it would hurt the overall health of the trees if we're trying to put too many in there and get them too close, that they're going to just grow into each other.
Just for the record,
tell us, you know, the constraints. Tell us about the easement. Tell us about that stuff.
Sure.
Because we want to make sure that if they grant this is, you know, someone else is not going to say, geez, look what you did for this guy. Man, oh, man. You gave him relief on the buffer, and you gave him relief, and he didn't even have to plant one tree. So just go into the physical constraints here.
Sure. So the predominant one is that easement on the southern end of the property that comes about 100 feet in to that space where we can't put buffer plantings because of the easement's limitations.
And that's the easement from the New Jersey Water Authority.
Water Supply Authority.
And under that easement, there's like some huge 100-inch pipe or something like that?
107, I think it is. Yeah.
Okay, what else do you got?
Similarly, the fact that we are also seeking relief from the setbacks due to the narrowness of the lot, due to the hardship condition of the shape of this lot, because we're already pushing into those setback locations, it's constraining the ability to have more open space to put additional trees in there as well.
You're putting a septic system in, but you can't plant trees on top of the septic system.
That is correct. And the stormwater basin to be a sand bottom infiltration basin, you cannot plant within
and
that.
Its own planting requirements are taken relief from, right?
That is correct. Because according to the state's BMP manual for stormwater management facilities, we cannot plant in it.
I'm not trying to be funny. Okay, can you plant cactus in sand?
You can't plant anything within the sand bottom basin according to the BMP manual.
Thank you.
No succulent farm for you. I'm sorry. I'll be funny. If you.
It's also an undersized lot.
And it is an undersized lot.
Thank you very much for that. Forgot about that. So there are a bunch of distinguishing features to this lot here.
Yes.
Right?
Correct.
Yep.
There are. That are unique to this property. The next exception, I'm going to pass over the basin exception because we did just talk it, planting of shrubs within the basin. The screening of the loading area, which again is on the back side of the building. So from Route 31, it's screened by nature of the plantings that are in front and the building itself, the concern being from Red Schoolhouse. We have the constraint, again, of this easement to the Water Supply Authority. We have the requirement to provide a fire lane access for the fire department coming alongside and up to the building, which would preclude plantings on the end of the loading space. And then again, we have the septic located to the west of the driveway, including plantings in that space. Topographically, Red Schoolhouse is a little bit lower, and it rises up, and then it will drop back down into this space. So you have a topographic condition which helps to screen. Obviously, it's not going to be perfect, but it will assist in buffering that space. And I think additionally, this isn't like a really necessarily a particularly large loading space. There's no storage associated with it, not that outside storage is permitted by the ordinance, specifically not. But I believe that topographic conditions do provide screening, and the other site constraints preclude the ability to provide any additional screening in that space. If you remember, we initially had the trash enclosure located on that southern end of the loading zone to kind of help screen it and buffer it to have something in that location. We obviously had to move it. And then finally is an exception for the trash enclosure for the construction of it to be a stained dark stained board-on-board fence, as opposed to a masonry structure. That's located, again, in the middle center. Well, that's a terrible description, isn't it?
Give us a reason for the fence rather than the masonry.
I think it fits better with the aesthetic of the property. The type of construction more along the lines of like a farm look.
Good.
I'll stop.
Yep, stop. Mm-hmm. On your head. Yep.
I know how to listen. So sum total, there's a lot of relief here. They're really driven by the existing non-conforming nature of the lot, its size, its relative narrowness to its width along Route 31. I believe that the improvements as proposed and as amended with the feedback from the board and your professionals results in no significant negative impacts from those developments. What we'll have is a property that's currently in a state of, let's kindly call it, disrepair, that will be redeveloped into, call it, a productive member of society, with a very attractive commercial building that will support an expanding local business, and I think promoting.
Just go with the hardship.
It's a hardship.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah.
If you
want
to, I'll send my outline to you next time.
Do you have an outline?
No.
If you did, send it to me. But the more you go, the more.
Fine with it.
I will stop.
I was going to argue more of that negative impact. Not that we are seeking that approval by that fashion, by just simply saying it's irritable. It's going to be a great business. I understand that. Yeah, I understand that. So we're going hardship variance. We'll stand on that in the testimony, and we rest.
Let's see. You're right. You got to address modifying those conditions. Can you give me that resolution, the 1990 resolution? 1999.
I thought for the future use.
For the future use.
Oh.
Once he gets a CO, we'll need to make sure that that is addressed.
Right. Okay, let me have that resolution, please.
I understand.
I believe 3 and 4, conditions 3 and 4.
Yeah. So here's my question. Right now, the BOA resolution 4-99 concerns lot 10 only. Correct?
Correct.
What's the lot size of lot 10?
So just so I understand and can respond to you intelligently, you're thinking ahead of me, that's great. What I think you're asking is, this is after site plan, after...
Yep.
I don't know if we're going to have any necessary modifications, but we're going to address that. That's my point, because once 11 is developed, their trucks can be parked on 11. I mean...
Correct. And that's what we might very well say, but I want to work this through. What's the lot size of lot 10?
12,752 square feet.
And the lot size of lot 11?
64,730.
So put it this way. Once, assuming that the board approves this, right? Will there be any need to modify these conditions? Because you can park all the stuff on lot 11, correct?
Well, the restriction on number of deliveries
only pertains to lot 10.
10.
So,
and customers,
I would only ask that we also consider in a future state where that parcel is split off and sold separately.
Yeah, so I'm saying leave it be. What's going to happen? What activity is going to take place on Lot 10, assuming that you build out everything that the board, I assume the board's going to...
From his testimony, that's going to be basically office space.
Right.
Everybody's going to go to the showroom, and they're going to go to the loading docks, and that's why we're developing this, or attempting to develop this property.
Yep.
That was my point, Mr.
Good.
I don't think we should...
Well, you also made a good point then. It just took a little time for it to set in.
Yeah, between now and then, you mean.
Yeah. He's saying that once they get a CO on 11, all that activity is going to be taking place on Lot 11. Lot 10 is just going to be an office.
Okay.
So those conditions can stay, and what the mayor is saying is, and if he ever does sell Lot 10, the board's going to want those conditions. They'll have those put
on Lot 10.
The new owner's going to have to go and try to modify them before the... Yeah. But that's their headache.
That's their headache.
Mm-hmm. Right. We have our own headaches.
Because you've got to keep your options open.
That's exactly right. We still might get that lot in the back. Who the heck knows?
Hey, yeah.
Good. So, anything else from anybody? Our professionals, you guys rested for now. Anything?
Yeah, so the last thing. Say it. He's saying it to me, but because we don't want any... If it's, once the board approves things, we try not to have problems.
I guess we're going back to what we talked about, Chris, on the pre-existing non-conforming and the driveway.
Which lot are you talking about?
Lot 10. Mm-hmm. By adding the driveway from Lot 11 on Lot 10, you're expanding a pre-existing non-conformance. Originally, they were going to remove the encroachment on the 301, including a portion of asphalt on Lot 10 to offset the increase in impervious. But that is going to be addressed, I believe, when the issue comes up. That's in regards to the CO, whether they purchase the property or remove.
Okay, Larry, put it this way. They have three options, right? Let's go over the three options and see how this impacts what you're talking about. Option one, they remove all the structures. It's not a problem. Correct.
The structures and a portion of asphalt on Lot 10. That was a part
of you got to look at Lot 10 a second. Yeah.
Okay, hold on. Remove all structures from Lot 301 and the store area and...
Well, in order to get the CO, they're going to have the square footage of asphalt.
Yeah, remove asphalt from Lot 10. Okay, that's an option. If their option is the lot to be merged, they need the planning board approval. They need planning board approval. The planning board can address the impervious coverage. They also want the option to go for a D variance to the BOA. They go to the BOA for that variance. They deal with impervious coverage. So as long as I have an option one that includes removing that asphalt from Lot 10, they're good. Okay? There's no problem there?
No. But that's not on the current plan, though, is it?
The removal of the asphalt is.
It is.
Okay.
It is.
They've got to meet the requirements that you already got on the plan.
If it's on the plan, then that's great.
Yeah.
If they've got the wrong square footage of asphalt and coverage, then we'll have a problem. Yeah.
Okay.
Good.
Do we have anything else?
Anything else from the professionals?
Hopefully not.
Nope. Anything else? anything from the board?
I'll just say that I think it'll be a net positive. It'll also be a net positive for the current state of Lot 10. It'll be an improvement over that business that's been expanding and probably is not well suited for that expansion.
So, on Lot 10.
On Lot 10.
Right.
Correct.
So.
Do we want to know if there's still no one in the public?
Yeah, there's still no one in the public. Thank you. So,
does anyone else want to deliberate?
Anybody else want to make any comments?
Someone want to say that because of the lot size and everything that Chris said, that the hardship for all these variances and impracticality for the exceptions.
That's kind of where it comes from. There's a lot of relief being requested, but there's a lot of encumbrances on this lot. It's kind of narrow and long, and you've got a 100-foot easement on the south end. I agree that Right. It should be a net improvement to the site. I feel a bit badly about the trees and the buffering thing, I have to admit, because we crucified other applicants on occasion for that sort of thing, but it's kind of a unique. I mean, unless Jim has suggestions for us, but...
Not a lot of room.
Yeah, that's... Just looking at the site plan, there's no place left. It's already going to have a lot of buffering, I think. Is it safe to say the buffer is fairly...
Yeah, they've done a good job where they could, so they basically planted the perimeter as far as, you know, where they could fit things in. So I think they've done as much as they can. Then that takes up space for any additional trees you could put in there.
Right.
Well, I would say it's, I think, I know it's taken a little longer from the first time you came, but I think you did get to an easier, better final solution. So I appreciate your work on that and working with the professionals. So, anybody else?
I got what I need because Bill said it.
It's all hardship.
All right. So, is there a motion to
grant all the relief?
Grant all the relief as John has laid out and the applicant has laid out with those items for exceptions and variance relief for the reasons so noted.
And with the conditions.
And with the conditions discussed.
And preliminary and final site plan.
Yeah, all the relief.
Well, site plan's not relief.
Yeah, it is.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not variance relief, it's not exception, it's relief that the board can grant.
Mm-hmm. I'll make the motion.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Higgins. Is there a second? Thank you, Mr. Lazarus.
Deduce.
Roll call.
Please.
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes.
Ms. Kleinhans?
Yes.
Mr. Lazarus?
Yes.
Mr. Malay?
Yes.
And Mr.
Sinek.
Yes. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, board.
May appreciate it. Taking more time than you wanted to get there, but you're there.
You're there.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thank you very, very much for all your patience and consideration.
Yeah. So that's what we're saying.
I'll be reporting on the old municipal building.
Yeah, I'm going to stay then. I won't go anywhere.
So while everybody's sort of packing up, feel free to pack up.
By the way, Mr. Nelson did a very nice job. Oh, thanks.
We don't want
them. All right, we have vouchers. They were sent out by Denise. I've reviewed them. I'm okay. Anybody have any questions or concerns with the vouchers? If not, I'll make a motion to approve. Is there a second? Thank you, Sue. Roll call. Sue. Fine. Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Thank you. All right. How about some reports?
I'm gonna let Bill do the group I'm talking about. I'll let Bill discuss a little bit about the people we had in the audience and the roads you didn't really try to close, but everybody thought you did.
Yeah. There was a long discussion with good public input about I guess it's still an informal proposal by the Water Authority, who's the
paper. No. Chris can correct it. New Jersey Water Supply, yes, by the Water
Supply Authority,
to close a portion of Route 629 along the dike. They asked council for support, if you will, and I think we've come to the conclusion that we're not able to issue an opinion either way, pending receipt of more information from the...
Which we have received some. They've authorized me to disclose more, really, is what it is, and they've disclosed it to the press. But basically, they've done an assessment for the reservoir, all the dams and dikes, by the New Jersey Bureau of Dam Safety, Homeland Security, and the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers recommending the restriction of vehicular access to the,
on the dike.
To the dams and dikes for security reasons.
I was wondering how long that was going to take.
Too long.
Yeah.
I wish to make it permanent.
Wow. Exactly.
What is Lebanon Borough?
They have their meeting again on Wednesday.
Yes, this week, I think. Yeah. We don't know.
We have a number of residents from Old Mountain Road.
You heard about it?
Yes. So that issue continues.
Yeah.
He hit it on the
head. Yeah. Okay, so. Right. So, okay, so what else? I don't want to do a sidebar here. I'm quiet.
Other items on the agenda for the council. We've got a court administrator position that's now open because our court administrator resigned. Has resigned. So that's posted, and you've been getting some.
Wait, I'm sorry, can I repeat that?
Lynn.
Oh. Yeah. I just heard administrator.
No, court administrator.
Okay, thank you.
You were in the crossfire.
Yeah, thank you.
And speaking of relief that we've granted lots of this evening, I've been granted some relief, and we've got an acting administrator. For those who don't know, our administrator is on medical leave, has been since the beginning of June, which actually just happened right after her vacation, so she's been away for about a month or 2 months now. So Bill Close, retired from Sparta, very well regarded, I would say. He's stepping in. Should be back tomorrow, 2 to 3 days a week, and already ultimate mail like he started on Thursday. So
how long is he out?
So
the rumor about Mr. Higgins being the administrator, that's
not true.
It's not true.
You ever considered?
Not true. His career as paralegal
is crazy. Somebody said a nominee.
I was going to object. I was going to object.
For the now public. Now we have public.
Oh!
Yeah. We have on the agenda for tomorrow morning at council, and this is very relevant to the planning board, so I'd like to delay this, and then after the meeting, I would like some folks to stay after class. I'm thinking racers. For the old municipal building, we determined that there were some issues with the plats because of some miscommunication, misunderstandings, and as a result, we're going to be amending tomorrow, hopefully, the redevelopment plan. We have a special meeting of the council tomorrow morning, 8:30 virtual, just to introduce an ordinance amending the redevelopment plan, which we will then have to kick over to the planning board for the next meeting of the planning board so that we can then adopt it August 10th. It can sit for 20 days, and then we have to figure out what the next steps are, but we suspect at some point
I'll be returning.
You'll be back for a very brief meeting here. And we can get it done and signed and sealed and delivered. So, August 1st.
Yeah. And I wrote up over there. Oh my God.
I'm gonna, Mr. Torriello will be here impersonating me at that meeting.
Okay. Yeah. You can speak slower.
No, not Jackie.
You won't be Jackie.
Correct.
You can speak as quickly as you like. It doesn't help. But that's that. Did you write that resolution?
Which one?
The redevelopment?
Yeah. That was off the last one. The last one was short.
Good.
I think that's about everything.
Did we talk about the center designation last time? Or was that a council? Here? I don't know if we talked about it here.
I missed the last one.
Fairly easy.
Tom, I don't know to the councilman's question, the Highland Center designation. I don't know where.
Discuss it here? I don't
remember if we discussed it here. But
no, we have not discussed it here.
So it was approved at the Highlands Council meeting, both centers, the Annandale Center and the Route 31 North Center, which has been a long time coming. So congratulations to everyone that's worked on it.
Not interim administrator was there.
I would say a huge part of that effort and getting us across the finish line.
what was nice was, for those of you who are not familiar with the organizations, the Highland Coalition is sometimes...
Not the Highlands Coalition, it's the Highlands Council.
The Highlands Coalition is what I'm speaking of.
Oh.
They were present at the council meeting, and sometimes they are an adversary to these kinds of things. Julie got up and spent a good amount of time praising the township for being very considerate in the way they developed the affordable housing plan and how to accommodate the affordable housing plans within the boundaries, you know, of the RMP. So I my mouth was agape. I was ready, you know, she got up and I was just ready to...
Well, just so everyone should know, John knows as they already told him, there was a certain attorney that was also there at that meeting who called me that night to say that Mr. Higgins had done a phenomenal presentation job.
You know who I'm talking
about? I know who it is.
Yeah. It is nothing much.
Just I'm saying.
Not to you.
Not to you, but
good. Fair. I did.
A few comments and Grant.
He didn't mention me.
I wasn't there.
Maybe that's why.
Important step to move things along, though. So thank you, John.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yes. I have a small report I can give without giving away any. Are the township's brief, appellate division brief, in the affordable housing appeal is due to be filed on Thursday.
Nice.
Oh. And it will be filed sometime Thursday afternoon.
Good.
So prepare for a while.
I understand it's a very well-written brief.
If I do say so myself, it is.
Mm-hmm. Did you say Wednesday?
Thursday.
With ordinance subcommittee?
Yeah, I would say I was going through the list of open items that I need to meet with some gentlemen to help prioritize those concerns. More little drips and drabs than I remember as I went through our long
Somebody
list.
Somebody can do a doodle poll.
We have one we got from Tom McCaffrey on this maximum depth of coverage.
Maximum depth of measure.
The only person who was able to explain this was John Maxson.
Right.
And it's so confusing.
Well, once you get it conceptually, it makes sense, but the way it's written, you just can't figure that out.
It's so easy to say you can't have flag lots.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, this is an anti-flag lot provision, but OMG, is this confusing?
I think they're down to they're down to a fairly... recommended description.
Actually, if you have other definitions.
And if we can throw that over to you guys, we'll send it over.
Patricia got a compendium of definitions.
And roll it into the...
The Board of Adjustment has gotten so many of these variances, and it's because the applicants are applying for them when they don't even need it, because no one understands how to do the calculation, because the ordinance language is... so screwy, so this would be great.
And I just had a zoning application for construction of a new home on a vacant lot that
this was
I needed assistance with this as well.
So
it's a horrible section.
Even if this is one you guys could pull out quicker and say we could put this in
the dwelling unit,
we could do that.
Try to push those.
Get those
a couple of those. Get some of the easy ones out.
Definitions we have from my list.
Good. Okay. Environmental? Anything from environmental?
Yeah, we had a meeting on the 7th, about a week and a half ago. There was a presentation from Dan Wilkins, who's New Jersey Sustainable Officer, to talk about how it's possible to earn sustainable Jersey points, which may include, but is not limited to, things such as individual residences and other commercial properties seeking sort of gain enough credits to be considered a wildlife habitat, which can be done simply by seeking certification through your website and taking various actions to register yourself. There's she did a really interesting and informative presentation on just lots of interesting fun facts of you know, countrywide, the amount of lawn that is across the country that is essentially at the detriment of potential landscape that is conducive to attracting wildlife, insects, various species of bugs, and just go through the food chain. So that was, I think she said something like the size of, I don't know how many states it was, the equivalent of lawn space in the landscapes, the grass space. So she said that was an interesting fact, and there's lots of cities and towns across the country that have achieved this. So one of the ways that that can be done to support these kinds of measures is habitat-friendly ordinances, things of that nature. He took up most of the time of the meeting, so it was an interesting guest speaker.
Did he tell you what a municipality can get with those points?
Yeah, so that was one of the things, you know, you can sign up for a membership and registration and pay, I think it's like $90, and you get a magazine subscription, you're on the website. But I'm not aware that it gives, there's no specific mention made of any sort of like tangible relief. Like you're going to get X off of your, for example, property tax or something like that. It was more of a case of being able to tout your credentials as a township.
Which is the organization?
Do you like Sale of Jersey?
Yes.
They have grants.
Yeah, they have grants. Yeah.
They have grants because if you get a certain number of points, you can then get a grant to do certain things.
We actually got a grant from Sustainable Jersey to do the green fair.
And Reddington does this a lot. And some of them are like non-mandatory things that you can do just by setting policy, get points, and then you can get grant money to do things to help the environment in your own municipality, so you don't have to spend tax to pay
it out. That wasn't touched on in the meeting. I was thinking to myself,
that's a big incentive.
If there is actually grants attached to this, then that's great, because I think alignment is of incentives, right? Not that people don't want to do this for the moral imperative.
There is a very active group. I think we're at 40-some points at the moment.
There's a
green team.
Yeah,
separate
Mario's green team.
Yeah,
yeah.
They had like a
vehicle
show.
Yeah, I've heard some good feedback from that, so that's great.
They can hustle.
They, it was asked if we could add a historic update on this. Is that a problem for the, throw it on there, or just any other updates? Why not as well? Good.
So do we want to add that to the agenda?
Sure. Anything else, anybody?
And you gave a brief description of the issue at hand. Obviously, more information is important.
Yeah, I mean, I got that after the meeting, unfortunately. I would have liked to have been able to say that's where the suggestion came from.
Okay, good.
Mr. Chairman, welcome to adjourn.
There we go.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right, thank you.
Can you stay right here?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.